You are listening to rudolfsteineraudio.com. This is a reading of a collection of lectures by Rudolf Steiner entitled Esoteric Christianity and the Mission of Christian Rosenkreuz, translated by Matthew Barton. This is lecture 22, which consists actually of lecture notes given in Stuttgart on the 28th of November, 1911, entitled The Seven Principles of the Macrocosm and Their Connection with the Human Being. The macrocosm, the wider world, is as much involved in evolution as the microcosm, the smaller world of the human being. Just like the human being, this macrocosm must develop its seven principles. These principles represent the totality of the hierarchies. Roman numeral 1, Seraphim. Roman numeral 2, Curiosities Dynamis Exousiae. Roman numeral 3, Archai, Archangeloi, Angeloi. Roman numeral 4, Son of Man. The following is the evolutionary sequence of the macrocosmic principles. First, macrocosmic evolutionary principle equals thrones. Second, macrocosmic evolutionary principle equals cherubim. Third, macrocosmic evolutionary principle equals seraphim. Fourth, macrocosmic evolutionary principle equals Christ. Or in pictorial terms, and there is a chart. For the Earth, the root races are listed below as 1, 2, 3, etc. Schematically, this gives 1, polar root race, repetition of the Saturn principle, thrones. 2, Hyperborean root race, repetition of the Sun principle, cherubim. 3, Lemurian root race, repetition of the Moon principle, seraphim. 4, Atlantean root race, Earth midpoint, Christ. 5, our root race, further evolution. 6, prefiguring of Jupiter evolution. 7, prefiguring of Venus evolution. The Christ principle thus evolves further through the Jupiter period, and will only be fully evolved at the midpoint of the sixth, the Venus epoch. From the middle of Atlantean times onward, the Christ principle can only work in first, smallest beginnings. In the human being, this occurs through an implanting of the disposition for the first seed of the ego. The first direct true influence occurred in our time in the revelation on Mount Sinai, where Christ revealed himself to Moses in the guise of Yahweh or Jehovah. Then Christ's direct connection with the earth came about at the baptism in Jordan and the 3 years in the bodily sheaths of Jesus of Nazareth. The Christ impulse thus poured into humanity at the same time as the ego impulse. Christ therefore represents the macrocosmic ego. The further evolution of the fifth, sixth, and seventh principles on earth can thus only be possible as a kind of inner prefiguring. Man can receive no higher body than the physical body built up together with the fourth macrocosmic principle. Only on Jupiter will we receive the fifth, and on Venus the sixth body, and so forth. Thus, in contrast to the Greco-Roman period, there is now something like an inner contradiction in human beings between spirit, soul, and body, that is increasingly being felt the further evolution advances. Sensitive people can be aware of this contradiction already today. Let us now use this schema to examine the adversarial influence of Luciferic spirits. These came, of course, from a higher hierarchy than man, that of the Angeloi, or angels. But they did not complete their evolution on the moon, where they passed through their human stage. In their further evolution, they therefore remained unable to find a connection with a fourth macrocosmic principle. Instead, these Luciferic spirits on the moon evolved, as it were, a prefiguring of their fourth and fifth principles, etc., But still, without the macrocosmic fourth principle, without the Christ principle, that was, of course, not yet there. Let us look for a moment at the evolution of such luciferic spirits, who developed as far as the fifth principle on the moon. These know nothing about the fourth macrocosmic principle, know nothing of Christ. It is difficult to express this in our language. One could say they turn away, as though mocking the higher gods who endeavor to develop the Christ principle in humanity, and call out to them, quote, "You can only give man the fourth principle, but we can endow him with the fifth," close quote. That is indeed something higher that they have brought with them in a kind of prefiguring, as we do now in the fifth root race. But this lacks the macrocosmic fourth principle, Christ, of whom they know nothing at all. Thus they have matured early in a certain sense, are prefiguring something, but not in harmony with the cosmos. Normal evolution thus presents the luciferic spirits with something simpler, which they think is below them. And times will come when, through the power of higher principles, of the fifth or even sixth principle, luciferic spirits will exert great influence on a humanity that falls prey to them. Isn't it possible today already for us to have a true sense of the symptoms of this? In art and science, everywhere else, we encounter a certain premature advance in evolution, which, however, seems to lack an inner core of truth or harmony with what is eternal. The leader of those spirits who have evolved six principles in this way, who therefore came close to perfection on the moon, is the Antichrist, who can appear almost indistinguishable from Christ. Nowadays, already, the majority of humanity has fallen prey to this influence of luciferic spirits. This is why it is now necessary to nurture the inner gifts which man on earth can only receive through meditation. This is why spiritual science is necessary. At the beginning of our fifth epoch, that is, at the end of the Greco-Roman period, in the 13th century, humanity was, for a short time, completely cut off from any clairvoyant capacity. This is why a great conference of the wisest people was held at the time, the, quote, College of the Twelve, close quote. The first seven of these were the holy rishis, each one of whom embodied one of the seven Atlantean evolutionary stages. Four other wise masters embodied the first four sub-races of our epoch, the Indian, the Persian, the Egyptian, Chaldean, and the Greco-Roman. The twelfth represented all that followed. Among these 12 was a boy, the 13th, whom they took into their midst, and all 12 poured out their wisdom upon him in a particular way. As a result, the body of the boy became holy light-filled and shimmering. For a long time he had eaten nothing. He lived only a short while under this mighty influence, but during this time was able, through what he had taken up from all the others, to become their teacher, to instruct them in things that they themselves could not encompass singly. Specifically, he could explain to them through his own vision the higher meaning of the Pauline event. Then he died and was reborn in the 14th century as Christian Rosenkreutz. He then lived for 100 years, and since then has been the teacher not only of the 12 wise men, but of all humanity. He has the task of protecting humanity against the luciferic influence. These luciferic influences are very powerful and will continue to grow significantly. One can rightly say of them, quote, "Little folk never sense the devil, even when he has them by the scruff," close quote. In coming times, the luciferic influence will become more and more prevalent. The end of Lecture 22.